Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. For the next 2 weeks, Pardes is bringing Purim to you. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Pardes Daily. This is Alex Israel from Alon Shavuot, and today we're going to be learning together Esther chapter 4, which begins in the following way. This is probably the lowest point in Megillat Esther, as the letters have gone out to annihilate the Jews. And we read, "O Mordechai Yadad Esh Kol Asher Na'asah." Mordechai knows about everything that had been done. Vayikram Mordechai at Begadav. He tore his clothes and he put on sackcloth and ashes. And he went out into the city. Vayizak Zaka Gdola Umara. And he cries a dreadful, bitter cry. He can't even go and talk to Esther because he's not allowed in with sackcloth into the royal compound. But we have a fascinating verse here, verse 3. Over chol medina o medina makom asher devar hamelech vedato magia, evel gadol layehudim. In my shul, they read this in the Eicha trope. And every place where, every single country, or every single state where this decree of the king came, there was great mourning for all the Jews. There was fasting, there was crying, there was sackcloth and ashes poured out into the public street. I say this is an amazing literary flourish and effect, because of course, it'll probably take a week for the news to get to Syria and 2 weeks for the news to get to Israel and, three weeks for the letters to get to, or a month to get to Cairo or Alexandria. And by that time, Esther will have already gone to the king and have averted the decree. And yet here we sort of get a flash forward. Of course, the people in those kingdoms don't know what's happening. And therefore, we see this close-up of Mordechai in this state of desperation and mourning and, you know, beside himself. And then we see sort of the echoes, each Jewish community, this terrible, terrible image, as they receive the new law and it's posted up in public squares, they all follow suit. They haven't seen Mordechai, obviously, but they do. What else would you do? They cry and they fast and they pray and they act as one would with in desperation. But we see this sort of domino effect of crisis. Now, last time we spent most of our class talking about Mordechai. And today I'd actually like to turn to the character of Esther. Mordechai comes in his sackcloth and ashes. He's not allowed in, and everything happens through emissaries and through servants. But he shows her the writ, the royal law, and impresses upon her how serious things are. And Esther told Hatach to go back to Mordechai and give him the following reply. Kol avdei hamelech v'am medinot hamelech yodim. All of the king's courtiers and the people of the king's provinces know that any person, man or woman, enters the king's presence in the inner court without having been summoned. There's only one law for him, that he be put to death. And I haven't been summoned to visit the king for the last 30 days. Essentially, Esther turns Mordechai down. What does she say to Mordechai? I can't help you. What do you want me to do? And in fact, it's going to be chapter 4, which is going to be the turning point in Esther's career, in Esther's personality. Let me explain. Until this point, Esther has been peculiarly passive. What do we say? Ein Esther Mageret et Melodetah. She doesn't say who she is. Right? Vatila kach Esther. Esther was taken. She didn't go to the king. Lo biksha davar. She didn't ask anything. And now, what does she say? I'm sorry, I can't help you. After this chapter, already towards the end of this chapter, what does Esther do? She starts giving orders. Lech konoset kol ha-yehudim. Go gather all the Jews. Vatsumo alai. And fast for me. Laila vayom. Day and night, Gaman even Arotayat Sumkein, and I will go to the king. After this, Esther is the mover and shaker. She is the one who's going to entrap Haman. She is going to act in so self-assured. In the final chapter of Esther, not only does she sort of call the shots and come up with the way to entrap Haman, but in the final chapter, Vatichtov Esther Amalka Bat Avichayil, we see her full Hebrew name, Umordechai Udi et Kol Tokef. She insists to write all this down. Et Kol Tokef. Tokef means power. She wields authority. She is self-assured. In the Talmud, they talk about her instructing the rabbis, Kitvuni Ledorot, write me down for the rest of time. Kivuni Ledorot, fix Purim as a holiday for all future times. And indeed it was. Who is this woman? Where does she get her confidence from? Somebody who was so passive in chapter 2, 3, and the beginning of 4, suddenly finds her stride. How did this happen? So I'd like to, before we actually address how did it happen, I'd like to explain a way that what Esther's going to do now is going to be so anti-cultural, it's remarkable. And let me try and explain a little bit. There's a word which we haven't paid attention to yet in the book of Esther, and that is the word dat. In modern Hebrew, dat means religion, but in the Megillah, it means laws. And Persia is a uber legal society. It's full of laws. In the first chapter, there are even laws about drink. V'hashtiyah kadat, ein ones. It's sort of funny. Sometimes the laws are strange. The drinking is according to law. No one forces you. Or they make a law in the first chapter, liot kol ish sorer beveito medaber kushon amo, that every man in his house has to be in charge and speak his own language. How do you enforce that? They make laws, though, about everything. There's even a law that we read about a couple of classes ago, that kedat hanashim shnei masar chodesh. There is a law that all the virgins who are brought to the king are for 12 months in the cosmetics room. You know, in the book of Esther, as we will find out when we get to chapter 8, the king professes that even he cannot retract his own laws. In other words, everything in Persian society is written down in laws, as we saw, by the way, in the previous chapter when they issued the law, right? V'ikatev haratzim yasud chufim devar melech v'hadat nitna b'shushan abira. The law was pronounced, it's translated, it's issued post haste. Haratzim yasud chufim, the runners go out with full speed. And of course, what is Esther going to do in our chapter? What does she say? Uvechein avo el hamelech asher lo chadat. Then I will go to the king against the law. V'kasher avadati avadati. And whatever happens, happens. Esther, until this point, has gone along with everything that her position requires. She has hid her identity in order that she shouldn't arouse suspicion or she shouldn't lose her special privileged place. And until this point, she's even refusing to go to the king. But the minute she makes the decision, she goes against the whole Persian culture. Let me maybe mention a second aspect of Persian culture, and that is the idea of the mishteh, the feast, or the drinking party. There are 10 chapters of the Book of Esther, and in fact, there are 10 feasts, starting with the 180-day feast in the first chapter, followed by a 7-day feast, B'Shushan HaBirah, followed by Mishteh Esther. She's eventually going to invite Ahasuerus and Haman to one feast and then another feast. Mishteh, a drinking party, is all part of the Persian culture. Interestingly enough, there is Mishteh, but there is never Simcha. Only at the end of the Megillah, we will have Mishteh v'Simcha, and that's not the Persians, that's the Jews. And when we get there, we'll explain why the Jews find Simcha, but the Persians cannot find Simcha, cannot find joy in drinking. But of course, what's she going to do when she goes to the king? What's her instinct, right? Sumu alai, fast for me, al tochlu v'al tishtu shloshi amim. Fast for me, don't eat, don't drink for 3 days. Laila vayom, night and day. In other words, Esther is going to rediscover her Jewish roots. If in chapter 3, there was something about Mordechai, which is, he found this sort of like, I don't know, sort of this energy within him which resisted Haman and Haman's regime, and some of that maybe goes down to his deep Jewish roots, then here, Esther is also going to somehow shed, she's going to discard this sort of Persian mask that she is wearing, and she's going to dig deep into her core and find her Jewish roots and act against Asher lo kadat. I'll go to the king against the law. I won't eat, I won't drink. And in that way, she is really discovering who she is. But what causes her to really find her inner roar? What causes her to find her inner voice? And I would argue that she's pushed into this. And here I'm quoting a sicha, a sermon of my Rosh Yeshiva, of Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, who used to frequently give this on Tanit Esther. And maybe if we have time, I'll explain what he used to do with it. Mordechai turns to Esther and says the following. He says, "Al tadami bana sheikh li malet beit hamelech mikol ha-yehudim." Mordechai has this message delivered to Esther. I'll read it in English. "Do not imagine that you, of all the Jews, will escape with your life by being in the king's palace. On the contrary, im hachareish tacharesh tacharishi beit hazot, if you keep silent at this critical moment, revach v'hatzala yamod liyudim mimakom acher, relief and deliverance will come to the Jews from another quarter. But at uveit avich tovedun, while you and your father's house will perish. Umi yodea im la'et hazot higat l'malchut. And who knows, perhaps you've attained this royal position just for this moment." What's happening here? This first line is such a deep accusation. It's terrifying. Mordechai says, "Do you think that out of all the Jews, you'll escape with your life?" In other words, what does he say? He says to her, "Esther, are you really or think that you're going to all let us be murdered and you alone will survive? The problem with you, Esther, is not that you can't. The problem is that you don't care. You're safe. We're vulnerable. You say, well, I'm going to live, so I don't really care about you. You just don't care enough. Do not imagine that you, of all the Jews, will escape with your life by being in the king's palace. On the contrary, if you keep silence, don't worry. Relief and deliverance will come to the Jews. Mimakom acher. Makom is sometimes a phrase used for God. It will come from another place. God will find a way. But you will go down as a footnote in history. You'll go down as a nothing in history. You and your father's house will perish. And who knows, maybe this is why you're here." My Rosh Yeshiva of Aaron Lichtenstein used to turn to us. We were a group of yeshiva students. And he used to turn around and say, "Look at the assimilation rates in the world. There are people who are assimilating left, right, and center. And you're happy in yeshiva because you're learning. What do you say?" Like Esther, you say, "I'm safe in the yeshiva. But what about everybody else?" You say, "I'm going to be okay and my children are going to be okay." And he pushed us to go and become Jewish educators and to turn our attention instead of inwards, to turn it outwards. It was partially speeches like that that led me to a career in Jewish education. Mordechai is turning round and saying to Esther, "This is your moment, Esther. Number one, it's not that you can't do it. You just don't care enough. Number two, this is your moment in history. Now you prove yourself. If you don't do anything now, then we'll find another way. But Esther, nobody will remember you were Jewish. Nobody will remember your name. But if you stand up now, you will become the heroine." And stand up she does. She realizes now is not the time to be passive. Now is not the time to let events control her. Now she has to be the actor in events. And it's unbelievable when you can almost pinpoint that tipping point, that change, that pivot, that moment in which somebody absolutely moves 180 degrees and transforms themselves from somebody who is being controlled by life to somebody who actually takes an active role. And this is where we see this actual personality of Esther flourish, coming to the fore, and we hear her roar as she now prepares in this very nail-biting moment to go and approach the king, Asher Lokadat. Okay, on that note, we're going to leave it here for today. Look forward to learning with you again as we're going to approach chapter 5.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and a big thanks to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in every day to stay on track with your learning. And visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about other ways to learn with Pardes.